And the beauty of the gospel is that God has provided an answer for them and for you and for me, that they don't have to walk in that state. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Short passage today, but our passage contains today one of the seven I am sayings of Christ in the Gospel of John. What do I mean by that? Well, there's seven times in the Gospel of John that Christ makes the statement, I am, and then follows it up with some kind of description. A few weeks ago, we talked about when he said, I am the bread of life. It's significant in one way, because when Moses asked God what God's name was, God said, I am that I am. I am the eternal, self-existent one. I am the uncaused cause of all things. I am before all things, and I sustain all things, and all things exist at my pleasure. I am that I am. And when Jesus would use these phrases and he would say, I am, and then describe an attribute of himself, it testified to his divinity. It testified to the fact that here was God in human flesh, fully God and fully man. The uncaused cause of all things, the creator incarnate and walking among men on the earth. Man, that just sends chills on my skin. We're going to look at one of those today. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God. I am the light of the world. What are people groping about in the darkness for? What are they hungering and desperately thirsting after in the darkness? They're looking for the light. They're looking for illumination. They're looking for warmth. They're looking for comfort. They're looking for direction and definition. They're looking for sight. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There are two kinds of people in this world. There are those who follow Jesus, and there are those who walk in darkness. There's not 3, 4.5, 5.7. There's two kinds. Those who follow Christ and those who walk in darkness. You are doing one or the other. And that darkness, if I can say this, is frankly a terrible place to be. And I lived many of my years of my life walking in darkness. And I have vivid memories. I don't enjoy remembering them. I don't make it a practice. I make it a practice, as the word says, to forget those things that are behind and to press forward to that which lies ahead, so that I can lay a hold upon that for which Christ laid a hold of me. Nevertheless, those memories are there, and I remember the emptiness. I remember the lost feeling, that sense of being in that harbor with fog all around and not knowing how far from the rocks I was. And occasionally catching a rock on the hull and getting a hole or a gash or a dent in the process. It's not a fun place to be. It's filled with confusion and uncertainty and anxiety and desperation, and disappointment, and disillusionment, and discouragement. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 35, he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. I think that's a great description. If you're walking in darkness, you don't know where you're going. In utter darkness, you don't know if you're going to the right or the left. You lose your sense of bearing. You lose which way. I'll be up here sometimes and I'll be praying and I'm facing forward from the podium right now. I'm looking right at RJ in the back. But I know there's been times when I've closed my eyes in prayer, got off on a little prayer groove, you know, and by the time I'm just about done, I realize I don't really know what direction I'm facing. I don't know if I'm still facing straight or if I'm facing this way or the other way. Ty, brother, let me just, I love my brother Ty. He is so, so flexible and always available. Can you close your eyes first? Let me see. Actually, let me point you right in front of Shelly, okay? Now, close your eyes. Okay. Okay, let's turn Ty this way. No. Let's turn Ty this way. Wait, no. Let's Ty, walk this way a second. Talk this way. Turn around. Okay. Okay, everybody be quiet, okay? Cool. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Ty, what are you looking at right now? Or, nothing, actually. What are you facing right now? Praise God. Thank you. Open your eyes, brother. Yeah. Thank you so much. What a man, you know? Amen. Thank you. It does not take long to completely lose your sense of direction or perspective. And when you're walking in darkness, you just don't know which way is up. I mean, things just will give you a sense of hope only to crush your hope beneath when it just falls through. I can remember just being so disillusioned because I would put my hope in so many things and they get me all excited and all pumped up, and the next thing I know, the floor would fall out from underneath of that thing and I would be disappointed and discouraged, and I would just want to scream sometimes, what is true? Is there really a God? Am I just some speck on a planet somewhere? Is this all an accident? Is this all just futility? He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. Now, he might think he knows where he's going. In fact, some are pretty arrogant about how much they think they know about where they're going. But they have nothing to base that on. They really have no facts to base that on. No atheist has ever disproved God. Amen. And most people, you know, there's not really a whole lot of those in the world, but most people who don't know Christ will tell you, well, yeah, I think I know where I'm going, you know. And you ask them, well, what do you base that on? Well, you know, I think this, or I heard that, or Oprah said, or, you know, I was, you know, Phil Donahue was on the other day, and or I saw this book, you know, while I was at the airport, they had a paperback, and so I bought it, and while I was on the plane, I read it, and it sounded pretty cool, you know, I mean, there's this guy out in, you know, Mexico doing this, that, or the other thing. And they have no basis. And if you ask them, well, are you willing to stake your eternal future on what Oprah said or what some, you know, paperback you picked up in the airport? That's a pretty big dice roll, if you ask me. I want something firm, man. I want something that I can know is true. Because face it, we die. And life is big. And we face challenges that rock our world at times. And I want to know, I've got some solid ground that I can plant my feet on and know that it will stand. That when the storm comes, and Jesus didn't say if the storm comes, he says when the storm comes. If you build your life on the sand, it's going to wash away. But if you build your life on hearing my words and doing them, your house will stand when the storm comes. I want to know that when that storm hits, my house is going to stand. Praise God. And if we don't stand on the words of Christ, it's all opinion, it's speculation and conjecture, it's all rationalizing. We have built our house on sand. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it is the way of death. It seems right. It sounded good at the time. I read the whole book before we checked in at the other airport. Got the whole thing done. I liked it. I enjoyed it, man. It was made me feel all warm and fuzzy. Life is good. It's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end thereof is the way of death, because it's only somebody's opinion, and everybody has an opinion. Don't you ever settle. I don't care who it is. Don't you settle for somebody's opinion. And I, you know, I like to be liked and everything, and I hope you guys like me, but let me tell you something. Don't you settle for my opinion. Know the truth, because the truth can be known. And to the degree that I vary from the truth, then you need to rebuke me to my face and say, John, I don't think that's what Scripture says. And I'll listen. I promise I will. I can't promise I'll be persuaded, but I promise I'll listen. But don't you settle for my opinion.